the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville Sports Radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller, alongside Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack, as the baseballs get the sweep this weekend against LSU. Matter of fact, it was a dominating performance. I won some money on Friday night's game. Knew the weather was not going to be in our favor. Knew it was going to rain all day. Knew it was going to be windy. Going to be a little bit chilly. The over-under was set at 13.5. What does common sense tell you to do, Brett? Tells you to take the under,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's what I did. We cashed out. Tennessee improves to 30-6 on the year. 10-5 in conference play. As Friday night, it was a fun environment, fun atmosphere, a record-setting crowd on Saturday. Then you close it out on Sunday. Big shout-out to Christian Moore with that big knock he had.
Two of them.
Yeah, he had two. Tennessee wins 6-3 on Friday, 3-1 on Saturday, 8-4 yesterday. Tommy Tanks didn't have much in the tank for the Vols this past weekend. Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters. No, not a real surprise to anybody on that one.
Nope.
Also not a surprise that Bryson DeChambeau, after playing one round with his 3D printed clubs, that he didn't do well the rest of the tournament. Not a surprise to anyone. And then, of course, we had the orange and white game on Saturday as well. Kind of made it an all-day event as the basketball team was honored, you know, for their SEC regular season championship, making the Elite Eight. Jemai Meshack, it seems like he's pretty much going to stay on Rocky Top. I mean, I don't think there's a question around it, especially after what we saw on Saturday and what he was doing, you know, with the crowd, with his teammates. I don't think there's really going to be any surprise. A weird picture did pop up this weekend. It was actually a local restaurant owner, and it was Devontae Gaines, Olivier Cumwa, Jonas Adu, and Josiah Jordan James all eating lunch together.
In Knoxville?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't see that one.
Very weird, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Gaines was the biggest surprise out of that.
Really?
I was like, why is he here? Like, I knew he had floated around. Like, he would come back, like, during the spring last year and just hang out with, like, Triple J and Urosh and Cumwa. So, I don't know. Guess they wanted to reunite.
Still buddies.
I guess so. Did anyone watch the orange and white game this past Saturday?
I was actually there for the first quarter and most of the second quarter, but dipped out after that.
Got pretty boring.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Nico barely even played, and when he did, it was a three and out. It was just really disappointing. It was also really hot. But yeah.
It got a little toasty on Saturday, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, got a little sunburn.
Got a little toasty. Brett, I think you said you watched like two series and turned it off.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't. I mean, you know, you don't really learn much. I mean, seeing Gaston Moore throw. I mean, it's nice seeing some of the young guys. Mike Matthews caught a touchdown, you know. But overall, I mean, it was, yeah, it is what it is. I was out doing other stuff at that time of day when it was, like Jack said, really nice out, and I didn't really care to watch it. I didn't take much from it at all.
See, and I don't think anybody blames either of you for that. I mean, let's call it like it is, guys. The spring games now are so pointless. If you watched Alabama's spring game over the weekend, you would have saw how bad the field looked at Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's like, between the hash marks, you had green grass.
Right.
Outside of that, you had sand. It's like they're playing in a desert or on the beach.
Right.
It did not look like a football field. So, that brings me to...
Well, and what was Ole Miss doing? They had a dunk contest. I saw Brandon Turnage won the dunk contest. They were doing tug of war. They had Joey Chestnut doing a hot dog eating contest. Like, they didn't... I don't even know if they played football.
I don't know.
They just made it a fun day, you know, which is probably better than what we saw.
It probably was, but, you know, the question I want to bring to the audience and to you all. Should we cancel the orange and white game from here on out and instead play an FCS opponent? That way you actually get a competitive game. Because on one hand, you got a team that needs to get ready. On the other hand, you have a team that has something to prove. Nobody's done this before. But if you do it, you're the first. You set the precedent. It's like, okay, Tennessee's doing it. We should do it.
I don't know. I still think you just see a lot of people you're not going to see during the regular season.
And that's fine.
I mean, Nico shouldn't play in that game. Like, none of your running backs, wide receivers, nobody, offensive line, defensive line, nobody will play in that game.
But would you rather see a competitive product or a three-hour just slop fest? Call it like it is.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you gain much from playing an FCS team or what you do. I really don't.
I don't know. Tell that to Michigan.
It wouldn't count against, like, record, right?
No.
Are you just talking about doing scrimmage? It instead of the spring game? So, like, set last Saturday, play whoever, Chattanooga.
Yeah.
That's all you're saying,
yeah,
dude?
But, like, a Chattanooga and Austin Peay, ETSU, Eastern Kentucky, a team like that. Instead,
I mean,
of,
you do see the NFL, they kind of try and do similar stuff, you know, as far as inter-squad practices against each other. Then,
yeah,
like on a Saturday or Sunday, they go and play each other.
Yeah.
Now, you don't see any of the top guys, but, I don't know, at least you're hitting somebody different than your own guys.
I think it would be a more entertaining product, maybe, I guess, is the point that I'm trying to make. Now, it'd just be a glorified exhibition game.
Yeah.
Is what it would be. But, yeah, when you think about that, because back in the day, the orange and white game, as a kid, it used to be so fun because you get to go out onto the field, you get to meet the players.
I still don't know why they don't do that.
Sign some autographs. I mean, it was so fun as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite players growing up was actually Jabari Greer. Mm-hmm. And I got to meet him, and, you know, 5-6-year-old Jake thought that was the coolest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't get to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think before the game looked pretty cool with the Vol walk. You got the basketball team coming down. They did the introduction of Kim Caldwell at something. You know, they honored the basketball team at something, you know, things like that. Like, the game itself was just blah, you know, so.
There was a Kim Caldwell sighting this weekend at Westtown Mall.
Really?
Yes.
Was it just her walking around, or was it like some,
I think it was like her,
publicity thing?
I think her mom, and really? Her sister, if I'm not mistaken.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Kim Caldwell already getting the East Tennessee experience.
Yeah.
Westtown Mall.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. What's next? You're going to head up to Gatlinburg?
No, they don't need to be exposed to that. They don't need to be exposed to that.
Yeah.
Marcus, how are you?
Heartbroken.
Why?
Start accusing people at the station. One of you producers has broken this chair already. We have been in this new studio.
Can we stay on track? Can we stay on track?
I'm just saying.
Orange and white game or schedule an exhibition game with an FCS opponent?
I'd rather just do the orange and white game. I'm not going to risk injury just to play someone that doesn't matter to me.
So you're scared?
No, I'm not scared. Do you want someone to get hurt and then be like, wow, Chattanooga went for the knees like Akron did for, you know, like against us?
So well, that's why you play a respectable opponent. Akron's an FCS.
You can't assume that someone's going to be respectable just because they're a smaller school.
Akron is an FBS opponent.
That's a good point. Would you like want to play Nico in that game?
I mean, if it's a game against like ETSU or Chattanooga, Eastern Kentucky.
Isn't that why you schedule his first games? Like to
Milligan
be
College,
weak?
I don't know.
You can't predict somebody to be honorable and not go for the knees if they get frustrated. You can't predict that.
Well, here's
I guess you could still do a whole quarterback thing, right?
Hey,
you could put them in a gray jersey.
Yeah.
Any of your players dirty by any chance that I have to worry about when we play? No, like no, just play against your own teammates. Someone's going to hurt your own team.
You know, there's been injuries in the orange and white game before.
Yeah, but those are freak accidents. Those aren't guys going for the knees because they're getting frustrated and they want to hurt the other opponent.
Like, you honest to God think somebody from the University of the Cumberlands would come down and try to harvest the ACLs?
Did you think someone from Akron was going to do it?
Yeah, because Akron's an FBS team. They're coached by Joe Moorhead.
No one predicted
that. Guy's an idiot.
That. No one predicted
that. Guy's a clown. That's a rare instance in which that happens.
So I'm guessing you're advocating for this to happen.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
What is your reasoning for doing it?
Because it's a more competitive setting.
Okay.
you're actually keeping a real score instead of 2 yards per yard gain or 2 yards per pass completed.
Mm-hmm.
Something stupid. Because I remember the Butch years. That was the dumbest thing ever. It's like the scoring didn't make sense. It's like, okay, well, how many touchdowns did we actually score?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many stops did the defense actually get?
Right.
It's like, okay, well, let's tally the score up. Well, you can't because it doesn't make sense. There's so many variables in how to calculate that that it just never made sense. Jack, your thoughts?
I like the idea, but I don't know. I didn't even think about the injury part that could happen. Like you're saying, it's like a more competitive game. I just don't know how much more competitive it would be. I mean, yeah, if we're playing at Chattanooga, like, we should totally smoke them. Even if Nico doesn't play, like, we should have that handedly. So, like, I like the idea. I like trying to make it a more fun, more competitive earlier in the season. But I don't know. It's a scary thought.
I think the orange-white game's good, though, because it's a good culmination of what you just went through. You've had a couple weeks of hard practices, and this is just the culmination. Let fans just see some of the new guys. I mean, you get to – you have the former players coming back and introducing them. And
you can do that in an exhibition game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Be a non-traditional football game. We want to hear from you. 865-288-3131. Let's get Phil in here first. What do you say, Philly?
What's up, Jack?
Billy.
How y'all doing?
Doing pretty good.
Well, I guess since you're talking about the orange and white game right now, I watched that, and I thought it was terribly produced on TV. They'd talk and interview and people while the game was going on. Didn't even tell you who was making a tackle or anything. I mean, it's atrocious coverage from whoever put that crap on.
Would you expect anything less from ESPN?
Well, I'd say it's probably UT stuff, UT people in there.
As pretty sure it was an SEC Network production. So I mean,
SEC Network Plus. Yeah.
They only get a few cameras. It's an ESPN company. So I mean, it's that was pretty par for the course, in my opinion.
Well, it looked like they're more talented. Since probably the most talented team since he's been here, but we still got some concerns to me. I thought the secondary was atrocious.
And that was our biggest question mark and our biggest concern, I think, for all of us in the room.
And, or is our offense really good?
I mean, that could be the case, too. But, yeah, our
some
secondary.
Good weapons out there. That was exciting.
But the thing is, you should have a competitive secondary that can at least cover your own offense.
But, like, the pass rush was weak. I mean, you're going through the motions. It's almost like a Pro Bowl out there, the effort.
Well, I mean, that's almost further cementing my point as to why we should play an exhibition game instead of the orange and white game.
Yeah, like a real thing, huh?
Yeah, like make it an actual football.
I mean, what was the kickoff
game?
Thing? Like, they just had one guy in the back and the kicker out there by himself, too. Like, what are we doing? We can't even run the special teams, you know, out there trying
well,
an onside kick or something?
Injury. They don't want anybody injured. That's what I'm not going to understand it.
I guess, yeah.
But they should have done some stuff like make some kind of something out of the ordinary so people watch it. I mean, you can watch people kick when they're warming up.
I mean, well, with the special teams, if it's just the punter and the returner out there, the kicker and the returner out there,
yeah,
like, what are you actually doing? You're not doing anything. You're not bettering anybody by doing that. You're basically just putting on a halftime show.
You're making sure the guy knows how not to muff it.
I think on one of the kick returns, we
did. He
did
muff it. Yeah.
Well, then there you go. Then you can look at him and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. So you're learning something.
Well, Marcus, it's different in a real game scenario. During a real game, you're going to have 11 guys running at you.
Well, then why did if the guy muffed it with no one running at him, that's concerning.
Worse,
yeah, that's concerning.
It's concerning, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, he's got to get better at that. And two, you need to put him in a real life scenario because I want to see how many he's going to muff.
As a secondary, I hate to beat a dead horse, but this is year four in that secondary. I'm afraid it's just going to be the same thing it's been the last 3 years.
Well, and like I told you, Phil, I felt like, you know, back in January that Willie Martinez would have been a great defensive coordinator at MTSU, and I feel like, you know, Tim Banks would have made a great head coach. And, of course, they decided to stay at Tennessee. But, you know, Josh Heupel's going to have to do something at some point. He's never had to fire a staff member.
Well, I'm hoping this. I mean, this D line is supposed to be tops in the country. Well, that's so you're hoping you help the secondary out by that.
Well, that's because you have the best defensive line coach in the country, in Rodney Garner. That's why James Pierce is probably going to be a top five NFL draft pick.
But beyond him, you have other guys too. Like I know James Pierce is the top dog on the D line, but like you have other guys that are get to the quarterback.
I mean, you still got
the D tackles. I mean, you've got a lot of potential up front. So you can only hope that quarterback doesn't have as much time, so you don't have to cover as long in the secondary. Maybe make some mistakes, things like that. So I look at it as a whole defense, and yeah, we got to cover somebody, but. You're hoping the whole defense is better as a whole, too.
The Spillman kid, the freshman linebacker, it looks to me like he's going to be a star. He was all over the field.
And that's what you love to see. I mean, I don't think we have any concerns about our front seven for the foreseeable future, at least. I mean, you got Rodney Garner out there tearing it up. Linebackers, they're tearing it up. It's literally just our secondary. It's our two corners and our two safeties that we have to worry about consistently. And it's not just, they might drop a game here or there. No, like it's every single game you've got to worry about them.
Well, I still want to see our linebackers versus quarterbacks that can get out of the pocket, because how many times last year did our linebackers lose their discipline or whatever and guys would run for third and longs? We saw that on numerous occasions.
I think
or not covering guys out of the backfield.
Well, I mean, that's been a problem really ever since Dooley was here.
Right. So, I don't know.
Now, let's go on the offense now. I'm concerned about the running back situation over there. Well, I saw Saturday, they're going to have to go out and get him a running back in the portal, because if Seldon don't come back, who's going to be the second string running back?
Probably be Khalifa Keith, wouldn't it?
We saw some DeShawn Bishop out there a little bit. He was
out
there.
Neither one of them looked too hot.
No,
I mean, I don't know what's out there in the portal right now either.
Dalen Hayden's in the portal.
Yeah, and they were talking about some Oregon State running back, being somebody Tennessee should look at. I don't know if we have any interest as well. Really good running back out there. So, I mean, I don't know. I agree. I mean, Seldon's supposed to be back, but, by the start of the season.
Well, if Samson gets injured next year, guys, what are we going to do? Just throw her down?
That's a tough one. I don't know. Nico's got legs.
Well, Nico looked good. And the offensive line, it's a work in progress, but you know Spraggers and Cooper Mays weren't out there, so you can't have those two guys getting hurt next year.
No, I mean, I'd say there's a slight concern on the offensive line, but I think that, with the experience that you've got with those two guys, you're going to be fine as far as your front goes.
Yeah,
I agree. We're still going to run the ball effectively. I feel like that. I feel like we're going to have good pass protection. And, we're going to score some points this year, Phil. I mean, it's not going to be like last year with Joe Milton at the helm. It's not going to be to the level that Hendon Hooker had it in 2022 or 2021. But I still think that we're going to make some noise on offense. And I think our win total was, 8.5 or 9.5?
9.5.
Really? Huh.
I'd say 10 wins. I'd take that right now.
Well, the key of the season is beating North Carolina State and Oklahoma. If you beat them, then you're looking for a great year.
That's the key, because I don't think we're losing to Florida this year, Phil.
That's the only thing to talk about right now. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we can talk about it.
It's
I mean,
a plague. Every year it's the same old crap.
It might be, but you got to think about this too, Phil. This is the first time in a long time in which Florida's not been the first SEC game on our schedule. Because what happens after they play us when they have a down year? It all goes to garbage.
Yeah. Well, the receivers look great.
Yeah, we ain't got no issues there. Wide receiver.
No, they're deep, and the tight ends look good.
And that's the something, Phil, you and I talked about last year quite a bit, was the fact that if you have a tight end that's versatile, a tight end that can go out.
We need to use them more, though, I feel like.
We probably
underutilized them last year, I felt like.
Well, I mean, we probably did, because you didn't have the confidence in any of them like you did for Jacob Warren. I mean, or not Jacob Warren, but Princeton Fant. Because Princeton Fant, they were confident enough to move him out to the slot, even in some cases, like motion him out and then, hit him on a slant or hit him on a fade.
He was a versatile guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, now that you've got somebody back there, you've got an Ethan Davis who's tall.
Stays or whatever.
Holden Stays is in here as well.
That transfer from Bama caught a touchdown, I think. Kisselman? I forget.
I can't even
remember. He scored on Saturday, I know. It was Nico's touchdown.
Peachman. the guy from Alabama's Keatsman, I think it's his name.
Yeah,
it's
I think Nico
he looked pretty good.
Nico threw the touchdown to him, so.
No, I'm with you, Brett. Let's utilize him more. Let's, you know, prove that we have a versatile tight end because we didn't really have that last year. I mean, Castles, he can go get you. Yeah, if you lob it up to him, he can go get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not going to blow by anybody, you know, like Princeton Fant would. Princeton Fant is another guy that is probably going to go down as underappreciated at the time, but more appreciated now that he's gone. Like, he's going to fall into that Travis Stevens category of a great talent that we didn't realize how good they were until they were gone, and nobody could come in and do exactly what they did.
Well, the great D.R. Vall sent me some pictures of the basketball team going down the road for, you know, for the game and stuff and other stuff. It was very interesting. But the basketball team next year, are they going to get any recruits or led to visit? Or any progress on that?
I haven't heard anything as far as how the visits went or if those guys are committing or not. But you would think DeBar is going to commit in the next couple of days.
You were hoping you'd hear it from him over the weekend. Like, you saw a lot of names dropping over the weekend yesterday.
The guy from Belmont was in as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough pulling him. I don't know if we'll get him or not.
When I saw before the show, too, one of Kentucky's top recruits, Boogie Flan, has requested release from his national letter of intent and basically try to go somewhere else. Now, he's not going to come to Tennessee. He's probably going to go to Arkansas with Cal. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to play for Mark Pope either. That's just – he's on the list of ugly people.
Y'all see that crazy – they filled up Rep Arena for Mark Pope. I'm just off work. Some people are crazy
They're
up there.
Trying to talk themselves into it.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, Kyle Perry was kind of, you know, not doing too great, but he at least had enough talent to keep you in the top 15 in the country. This guy ain't won an NCAA game. Got beat by Duquesne in the NCAA tournament. Is that good of a coach at all? I mean,
here's the thing, Phil. They might have just hired their Kelly Harper, but I made a comparison, Phil. He really does look like Billy Napier, and it might be the Billy Napier of college basketball that they just hired.
Well, let's hope it is, you know.
I'd love it.
3 years, if he don't do nothing in 3 years, then they'll get rid of him.
They'll owe him a lot of money.
If you believe they're paying him all that money.
I couldn't believe it. Once I saw
what he's just paying him $5 million?
Yeah, but still, why would you pay that for him? He's not worth it.
We'll find out.
He might be worth a sack full of crystals and a full tank of gas.
All right, guys. Hang in there. See you.
Appreciate the phone call, Philly. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack. The Fan Run Charity Open is this weekend. The Fan Run Charity Open is this weekend. Is everybody excited for this? Am I the only one playing?
I think so.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want to participate?
I might shoot 100, man.
It's a par 3.
Oh. As a team.
Yeah.
It's a par 3.
Okay, maybe not that bad, but.
It ain't that bad.
You can still shoot 100.
I'll figure out a way.
Buddy, I watched a guy on 9 holes on a regular course. Shoot a 117 on 9 holes.
You know how quickly you can lose your golf ball out there? It's really difficult.
It's hard to lose mine. Mine have messages on them that I've sharpied in. If you find one of these, I would prefer it if you bring it back to me instead of showing it to Bear.
What's the message?
I can't say it on radio.
Oh, okay.
Fan Run Charity Open this weekend. Williams Creek Golf Course, the week course. If you have not registered, got a few spots left. Only a few spots left. Go to fanrunradio.com/shop and get yourself signed up today. All right. Baseball's getting it done this weekend. You know, of course, I was there on Friday. Electric atmosphere. One of the things that highlighted that one, Billy Amick, his first game back from injury, mm-hmm. his first pitch back from injury, and just absolutely drills one out of the stadium as a good welcome back, or hey, I'm back,
right,
and set the world on fire. Because that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
That place erupted when Billy Amick just absolutely hammered it.
Yeah, you got to see the lineups there before the game because he was mentioned to be coming back this weekend, maybe in a lesser role, maybe a bench guy. And to see him starting was obviously a great thing. And obviously you see how good he is. Didn't skip a beat, just put one in the seats. So nice to see. He got the series off to a great start and kind of carried over through the all three games.
Absolutely. And A.J. Causey, you know, comes in the game. Pitches 4 2/3 of an inning.
Yeah, that was the other big story, I guess, because they never really announced the starter for that game. And then
it was Stamos.
Stamos started, and he did pretty well. Yeah.
He was doing okay.
Yeah, and then Causey was just electric.
7 strikeouts.
I don't know what changed with him. I think going from that lefty they were seeing to this sidearm throwing righty, he did really well.
Of course, A.J. gets the win. And Kirby Cannell gets the save.
It was dicey.
It was.
I think they had the bases loaded in about the 8th or something like that, and he got a little pop-up when it was 6-3. So, got off to a good start on that Friday for sure.
Jack, anything stand out to you?
To be honest, was not tuned in. My sister went to the game Sunday just to see Dalton pitch.
Of course.
But, you know, we're off to a – great start to the year, obviously. We got Bellarmine Tuesday. That should be an easy win, but huge, huge series this weekend. Number 3 Kentucky, since when were they good at baseball?
I don't know, buddy.
But it's also really cool to see the top 4 teams, all SEC.
And of course, you move along to Saturday. Tennessee gets the win 3-1, in which they trailed mm-hmm. from the second inning on until about the 6th. And Dylan Dreiling sent home 2 runs, Burke and Amick. And then in the 8th, Billy Amick said, you know what, I'm going to give us an insurance run. And homered again for the 2nd time this weekend. Then you move along to yesterday, and that one was a little scary. Not going to lie. At one point, that got a little scary. Especially when they came back to tie it at 2-2.
Right, yep.
Insert Christian Moore. Homered in the 6th, homered in the 7th, then Cal Stark doubled to send home 2 in the 8th to help the Vols get the sweep over LSU. Anything else stand out to you guys this weekend?
As far as baseball goes?
As far as the baseball team goes.
Well, this weekend, you had some offense, but it was more about pitching for me. I thought everybody pitched really well that got a chance to. Got some key outs. Beam was good on Saturday. Went head-to-head with Holman, pitch for pitch. And you got your timely hitting. You got your big hit yesterday from Moore. A couple big hits from Moore. Stark with a big double to kind of give you that insurance. But I think for me, more than anything, it was about the pitching and getting Amick back. That just deepens your lineup and, again, he didn't skip a beat and had a couple big homers, but I thought the pitching was key because that's something that's been struggling. To get the sweep kind of keeps pressure on Kentucky going into this weekend. I think it was good to – and LSU's probably one of your most hated rivals, when it comes to baseball.
Well, like we said last week, they're pretty much the ones that started this whole Tennessee baseball phenomenon that we now know. Mm-hmm. Is from a radio interview that started the popularity of Tennessee baseball to the point where you're selling out games and then you host a regional and a super regional. You're having to have watch parties outside of the stadium because you can't fit everybody in
right.
that wants to go to this game, but you want to be a part of it, you go to the watch party.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just how crazy this has become.
And unfortunately, Tony's kind of owned LSU, but just not in the biggest moments.
Right.
He's 10-4, I think his last 14 against them.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 of those losses were obviously last year in Omaha. So you still want to, and I don't think LSU is trending towards anything like that. You know, they dropped to what, 3-12, I think now.
Yeah, they're 3-12 in conference play. LSU not having a good season at all. They are now 22-15 on the year. Mm-hmm. And I haven't looked at the SEC standings as of late, but you almost have to put them in the category of possibly not even being on track to go to Hoover.
Well, no, everybody makes it. Everybody makes it now. But yeah, they would be trending if in a normal year. But now that everybody makes it, they're going to go. And I mean, it's crazy to see them struggling the way they are. So.
And as it stands right now in the East, Kentucky 13-1 in conference play, Tennessee 10-5, Vanderbilt 8-7, Carolina 8-7, Georgia 7-8, Florida 7-8, Missouri 5-10. In the West, Arkansas 12-3, A&M 11-4, Mississippi State 7-8, Alabama 6-9, nice, Ole Miss 5-10, LSU 3-12, Auburn 2-12. So that's just not LSU baseball, man.
No, not at all.
That is not LSU baseball.
No. So you did what you had to do. Like you stepped on them and you swept them. I think that was a big sweep. And I mean, you would have liked to, whoever Kentucky played, you would have liked to them to help you out. But they've been kind of messing around with the lesser teams in the league, mid to bottom, I think, to start their SEC campaign. But they're winning the game, so you gotta give them credit where credit's due.
Jordan has chimed in. He says, that's next year that everyone does not make it. That's next year.
Oh, next
everyone
year.
Does not make
okay,
it.
Okay, so they're – okay.
So, I mean, they're
– in Texas and Oklahoma.
Yes, I mean, they're teetering on it right now because, I mean, you know, we were in that conversation.
But he said next year everybody makes it or doesn't make it?
Next year everybody makes it.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
But,
sounds good.
You know, we had this conversation last year about whether or not Tennessee was even going to make it to Hoover. And luckily we turned it around – and then eventually you make it to Omaha.
Right.
And that's just – it proves that baseball is such a weird sport in that regard. It's like, you know, you might have one guy be in a hitting slump and, you know, just being a slump all around. But, I mean, you got to take into account, too, if your entire team is in a slump, then that's what you just get labeled as.
Yeah. And luckily, I mean, if one guy's struggling, you have so many other guys that step up.
Yeah.
Like from game to game. It's – And your top guys have led the way. I mean, your first two hitters are as good as anybody in the league, more. And Burke's been incredible. What a bounce back he's had. I mean, he's got that long hitting streak, I think. I think he tied another Tennessee great. I can't remember his name. Pickler, maybe. But he's been – Burke and Moore have been just really good. And then just throw Amick back in there. Hopefully, you know, you gain Russell back. Mm-hmm. And maybe Russell comes in and has a Snead-type role as well. With Causey and maybe your three guys starting series or Stamos and Beam and you know, Xander's been incredible on Sunday, you know, the last few weeks. So maybe, I mean, if you get any type of pitching with this offense, like, I mean, I wouldn't want to play us, you know, because the offense has been as electric as that one we saw a couple years ago, you know, Beck and Lipscomb and Lucius and all those guys. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited. I was a little worried about the pitching, but you know, I think you saw a good example. Like, the pitching stepped up. The hitting wasn't necessarily there. Got timely hitting, but the way the pitching was just lights out. You know, they came to the plate this weekend. So they didn't want to be showed up by those other three guys, though. You know, no. The Caldwell, Helton, and Connect.
Yeah,
you
didn't want to do that. No, that was cool to see, you know, Kim Caldwell, you know, throwing out the first pitch on Friday. It seems like she's enjoying herself here so far. I mean, she's only been here about a week, but the fact of the matter is
she hasn't got the basketball season yet.
She's not got the basketball season yet, but in the meantime,
she's probably ready to get off this like little train and get to like
get to work.
Yeah, the portal and finding assistant coaches and, you know, her job. You know, it's great getting to meet her and stuff, but hey, we're paying you to be a basketball coach.
Yeah,
not throw out first pitches, but you know, she's got to be introduced too. Nobody knew about her. You know, we don't know anything about her, so. But yeah, so it's exciting to see, and you know, hopefully we can keep this train rolling.
Absolutely. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. segment, hour number one. It's the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. If you're not joined the 37 Club already, head over to fanrunradio.com/37club today. $24.99 a month. Get you a free t-shirt every month. That pretty much pays for the price of it by itself, considering we sell these for $30, $29.99. Or would you rather pay $24.99? Know that you're going to get a free shirt every month. Know that you're going to get access to the exclusive Discord with all of us here at Fan Run Radio and be able to chat with us on a daily basis. Pretty sweet. Got to know a lot of our listeners through the Discord. It's been a pleasant experience for me. Make it a pleasant experience for you. FanRunRadio.com/the 37 Club. All right, Jack, you proposed a question during the break, and I was going to start talking about the Masters. We can do that later. But you asked a really good question. Go ahead and ask it again.
Yeah, it was just y'all were talking about baseball and just the momentum of pitching and hitting, and I was asking if it was the most momentum-based sport that we have, just because, yeah, it's such a random sport at times that anything can happen, and, yeah, if you just get a little bit of momentum, you can win any game pretty much, and there's not a lot of sports like that. I think basketball rivals it a little bit, but, yeah, I was curious what y'all thought.
I would say baseball is one of those, like we just mentioned, you know, with last year's team, and right now with this year's LSU team, is the fact that you can get in such a slump that it just follows you until you hit yourself out of the slump. Kind of like, you know, Jordan Gainey in basketball. You know, we thought he was going through kind of a shooting slump, and he really never got out of it. But the only way to get yourself out of that slump is to either shoot yourself out of it if you're in basketball or hit your way out of it in baseball. That's the only way you can get out of that. You know, whether that means taking more BP, just getting the feel of the bat, doing whatever it takes, going through some drills that you normally do just to get yourself back in the swing, no pun intended. But I would say baseball is probably it. Brett, what do you think?
I mean, I can see it, but, I mean, it's basketball. I mean, you know, you saw it, like, in the NCAA tournament against Purdue for us. Like, that run Kinect went on by himself, you know, was so quick. You know, that 10-0 spurt he had. I just think – with turnovers and, you know, individual players, I just think, you know, yeah, you can get a home run every now and again, but that could be it, and you may not see anything for two, three more innings. I think it's more you can end a run maybe easier in baseball with a good pitcher, like if he's tough to hit. But, I mean, you can argue both ways, but I still think an individual can get hot, and it's hard for baseball. I mean, you'll get your one big inning, but, you know, for an entire game, I mean, the momentum can carry you. But, I mean, a sweep like this, maybe a momentum can be different for baseball because momentum can carry you into another series or another game. And maybe that's what happened this weekend for a sweep. But I still think it's basketball.
Yeah, I think the fast-pacedness of basketball is definitely the argument. In the NBA, there's like 20-point, 25-point comebacks pretty often. And, yeah, obviously the March Madness tournament, like, momentum is crazy in those games. Yeah, all you need is, like, a three or, turnover, and everything can change. Football also, I feel like, has a good amount of momentum baked into it. Yeah, if you're down three scores, but, you know, you get a turnover, you get a touchdown, you're right back in it. So it's really interesting to think about.
Marcus, what say you?
Hockey would be the one for me. I mean, you can literally have a penalty, a fight. You can have a big hit that changes the huge momentum of it, a big save. So I've watched plenty of hockey. I mean, Predators were a team that were an 8 seed. No one thought they'd do anything, and they had a huge momentum swing that took them all to a finals. So, yeah, to me, when you have all the kind of things that can provide a momentum switch, that hockey's the one for me.
The Panthers last year, right? They were an 8 seed, too. They went on a crazy run, didn't they?
No, they weren't an 8 seed, but they did make it to the finals.
Okay.
But see, I don't know if it's just the fact that I can't get into hockey, but I don't
– Playoff hockey, dude. Playoff hockey is different.
Hockey's literally the best sport of all. Like, it really is.
You would rank hockey over football and basketball
for playoffs? You mean
you're allowed to fight?
You talking about just playoffs, Marcus? Or
no, I mean in general.
Oh wow,
you can fight. I like the fact is that I've seen guys who have taken skate blades to the chest, go out there, get an adhesive put on their chest, and go back out there and play again. Basketball players want to sit out every so often. Like, they aren't, like, look, I like basketball. But in the NBA, those guys want to be able to sit out and rest because they don't want to play a full 82-game season. I got hockey guys that will go out there, and there have been guys who play in the playoff hockey with torn ACLs or MCLs. Like, they go out there and do whatever they can.
But hockey does cheat the rules. Like, Mark Stone's coming back from Vegas. He missed, like, the whole regular season.
I get that, and I don't – but it's a part of the rules, so you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
If the Preds were in that situation, I'd love it too. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it is what it is. But when it comes to, like, I think hockey players are the toughest athletes out there. I wouldn't want to face any of those guys. I wouldn't want to get, like, smashed into the boards. Like, there's literally the number one overall pick, and guys have literally focused on him to try to make his life absolutely hell.
Just look at their smiles. They're all missing teeth, man.
So someone did a list not too long ago, and it ranked the 10 most popular sports in America. Number one, pretty easy to guess, it's football. Number two, basketball. Number three, baseball. Number four, soccer. Number five, NASCAR. Wow. Number six, boxing. Number seven, golf. Eight, tennis. Nine, wrestling. 10, hockey.
Disrespectful.
I don't know where they came up with these metrics, but that's what the people said. That's how many estimated fans there are.
NASCAR. Wow.
Does anything stand out to you like that?
Everything.
Yeah, like that 3 through 9, or yeah, all.
Yeah, at least 5 through 10 was just terrible.
5 through 10 were terrible.
Yeah. No one cares. Like, one, no one cares about boxing anymore because it's not as entertaining anymore as it used to be.
And wrestling. I mean,
I could go on a whole segment.
Wrestling has more fans than ice hockey.
Cool. You get to watch guys pretend.
I'm kidding, Marcus. I replaced ice hockey with NASCAR, and wrestling is 10th.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Ice hockey is 5th.
I was about to say. Yeah. Good one, Jake. And
people driving around in a circle.
You about made us all real pissed off.
I could do that in a parking lot.
Left turn.
Yeah, I could turn left in a parking lot. That's just as entertaining.
I did that just to get a rise out of you. Buddy, you are redder than ever over there. My goodness.
This chair has ruined my day.
Is the chair really broke?
Yes. And I have suspects. There's three of them.
Who, Bear?
He's on the list.
Dawson?
He's on the list.
Sam?
He's on the list.
That's the three.
That's the only three people other than you that sit in the chair.
Exactly.
What if you were the one that broke the chair?
I didn't break the chair.
What if you were?
I wasn't.
Impossible.
It's impossible.
Did you ask Sam if he was having issues before he left?
No, but I didn't think about it because, you know, here's what I do.
Because Sam was still in here when you sat down.
I sit in this chair. Yeah, but I didn't think about adjusting because I was getting everything else ready. I was doing getting my job prepared, getting the board ready, getting my headphones ready, getting comfortable.
Mentally ready.
Yeah, definitely that. And then I sat down, and what I do is, because this is a tall chair, I'm already a tall man, so, you know, I like to lower the chair a little bit.
He's not tall.
I'm
He's
6 foot.
That's pretty tall.
It's taller than you, I think. We'll measure here in a minute. And so I was going to lower the chair a little bit. And lo and behold, it doesn't lower anymore. So one of you monsters ruined this chair. And I want a confession out of Sam, Bear, or Doss. I want a confession. Admit it.
We'll have an investigation.
Oh, yeah. And you think that Saturday is not going to be me as a caddy also being a detective behind the scenes? No one's getting away from me. I'm going to figure out who did this. We've barely been in this studio.
We'll have a lie detector test.
I'll figure it out.
We got it.
I am a human lie detector.
Oh, my God. Stay with us. Hour number one in the books, hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.